Well, Wednesday has rolled around again, and that means it's time for some more cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. And Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to the Audio Stash.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you know, I know you get a lot of emails, and I do too, from people that are wanting to know about the good features of marijuana. I mean, we see a lot of studies that come out purporting to say all the bad things marijuana will do to you. But in the cannabis community, a lot of us think of marijuana as a enhancement to life, and in particular, a lot of people will say that marijuana enhances the taste of things or the sound of music, or in general, just it enhances creativity. And I was just wondering if there's any sort of scientific backing to that idea that marijuana enhances creativity.
I think we're sort of in a predicament with the creativity literature. It's really hard, as you can imagine, to measure creativity in the lab. And when we do try to do that and get people high and have them do these creativity tasks, we don't see a lot of improvement. There was one study in the early 90s that showed some modest improvements, and then one more recent that didn't. I think part of it is that creativity has to be broken down into different little steps. You sort of need a period when you're generating ideas, as crazy as they may be. Cannabis may have some big pluses for that sort of side. And then another side where you just sort of let a creative idea incubate for a little while, and whether cannabis has an impact on that or not, we just don't know. And then this notion of sorting through the ideas and picking the one that's more practical or creative or things along those lines. And it looks like cannabis doesn't seem to be a ton of help with that. Part of how this whole idea developed, though, is going back to some rather famous folks who happen to be creative and also use marijuana. But again, as we've talked about when we look at other literatures, it's just a correlation. It may not be causal. But still, they're an interesting group, and an interesting story about this. Probably the one I hear about the most is the Hashish Club.
Yeah.
In the 1840s, there's a really pretty famous physician back then, Jean-Jacques Moreau, and I apologize, my French is not good if I'm mispronouncing it, and he was actually trying to study hashish's impact on thought and emotion and things like that, and was thinking maybe it would be an interesting model to help people understand, you know, deviations in thought and even mental illness. And he basically dished out hash in this form of this little confection. This was a sugar and spice and hash treat, if you will. People all ate it. And a number of the famous French artists and writers of that era seemed to show up. And a bunch of them claimed they only showed up to observe, which I think we know what to make of that. But Alexandre Dumas of Three Musketeers fame, Baudelaire, Gautier, a number of famous French poets and artists, and it's intriguing to note that, you know, people who are willing to commit their lives to a creative lifestyle are also willing to be more adventurous in other domains, and I think that that may account for some of this relation between creativity and cannabis use.
Once again, we're back to that correlation versus causation. Is it the fact that cannabis makes you more creative, or do more creative people just tend to get involved with cannabis?
It's funny, too, because I invariably meet folks who tell me about their cannabis-induced insight and the one that seemed to be the great idea for them. And in truth, even for my dissertation back in 1990, I got a really neat idea when I happened to be high that was really instrumental for that project. But I have no idea whether I would have gotten that idea anyway, or if it would have you know, come up in another context. So there's really no way to know that. And even this randomly assigning folks to use cannabis or not isn't really showing up as a be-all and end-all, but I think in part there's a creative lifestyle, if you will. If you're willing to be flexible with your thoughts, relax, don't pressure yourself, give yourself time to let good ideas incubate, and then, you know, throw out crazy ideas and just go wild and really give yourself a chance to pursue them, what a wonderful thing. Whether you're using cannabis or not, I think you're going to come up with neater, more creative outcomes in the long run.
Yeah, and this is something that's been observed, you know, not, like you said, going all the way back to the mid-1800s. My frame of reference on this would be the comedian Bill Hicks from the 90s, who once had the observation that if you wanted to trade record collections, he'd take all the records that were composed by people that were on drugs, and you could have the ones by the people who weren't on drugs and see which who ended up with the better record collection, you know, mentioning the Beatles and Jimi Hendrix and so on. So, you know, I just tend to think that, and this is, you know, just my personal opinion, is that the people that are creative types and, like you say, have the open mind and are willing to think out of the box are the same kind of people that are the kind of people who question authority and are not likely to take the reefer madness lies at face value. They're more likely to want to experiment and try that on their own. Do you see anything like that in the numbers or the studies of people that try these things?
Well, the studies, again, that was done in the early 90s, it's this cognitive flexibility aspect. And so what often happens is if people are willing to entertain something that sounds completely insane, that's how they come up with novel solutions to problems. So if instead of saying, oh my God, I've got to fix this, how am I going to do it, you say, gee, what would be the stupidest way to solve this problem, and come up with completely insane things, and then sure enough, sometimes that's the thing that works. So a relatively famous case study in creativity, they said, okay, you guys, you've got these two heavy metal bars, how are you going to stick them together so they fit? And somebody was joking around and said, let's stick gum in there. And then it turned out they had basically developed a glue that was based on a gum base. So it was kind of curious how these crazy ideas that seem, you know, flip or insane at the time end up being a neat foundation for novel solutions to interesting problems.
You know, we see a lot of the substance using community, and not just cannabis, but we see a lot of this of other substances in the artistic professions, between musicians and artists and actors and so on. We get references back to, you know, Edgar Allan Poe and drinking, Hemingway and his drinking, the use of absinthe and so on. Do you see this as being part of that that tortured soul idea? These tortured souls that have to medicate themselves. Could that be part of what's happening here?
Don Goodwin had a wonderful book on this and said the highest risk group for alcoholism is American winners of the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Yeah.
And in fact, you start walking through them all, and sure enough, all but one of them is a pretty serious alcoholic. I think some of that is the stressors of trying to have a life that depends upon that kind of output. So once you make this commitment to the arts or writing or things like that, or even, you know, trying to be creative in the sciences, you end up putting a certain amount of pressure on yourself. If you don't have good training in alternative ways to reduce stress, you can see how people do that. The other thing with alcohol in particular is there does seem to be some attentional focus attributed to moderate levels of intoxication, so it's easier to tune out from distractions with that. But obviously this is not the way to have a long career in the creative arts, and you see this time and again, Hemingway late in his life, or other writers who never really got quite so famous. Dashiell Hammett seemed to have run into some problems, John M. Cain, you know, under other folks who were really great at one time, but eventually, you know, trying to let, as Hemingway would say, let the corn whiskey do it, and that just doesn't seem to pan out.
Yeah. Now, you know, creativity exhibits itself in places other than just the creative arts. We could look to the world of science, and, you know, two names come to mind in my reference here would be Carl Sagan, the famous physicist and astrophysicist, and Francis Crick, who helped to discover the double helix structure of DNA. And both of them relate having certain insights. You know, Carl Sagan mentions being the insight under cannabis, and Dr. Crick mentioned his insights coming from LSD trips on occasion. Do you see a lot of that in the scientific community?
Well, and in fact, it's interesting because I always thought, oh, these are apocryphal, these are silly. Lester Grinspoon had a talk with Carl Sagan one-on-one and has no reason to, you know, lie about this, and he really did have those insights. And the Watson and Crick thing is also neat, that basically the formulation of that double helix came during a hallucinatory experience. But even if you look back in ancient times, people don't know the name Kekule, but he's actually the guy who figured out that carbon forms a ring. And he was just kind of dozing off behind the fire and may have had a drink or two, but basically had a little dream about a snake, and then the snake bit its own tail and formed this little circle. And then suddenly it like dawned on him, holy cow, the carbon is making this ring. I need to go have this. And, you know, what a surprise. I think really any way that you can sort of get out of your regular fixed thinking patterns and go about creative tasks, you're often delighted. And I do want to emphasize that you don't have to be a writer or an artist or painter along those lines. We all have creative things going on in our lives. You get interesting insights about things about your cooking or just how you want to interact with your kids or things like that. By all means, let those run and really have a good time with them.
Yeah, Dr. Lewine, I think this is a great subject, this idea of creativity and opening up the mind. It's something I wish that we could had a better way of studying. And is there any plans on, or anybody that's looking into this field of research?
My colleague James Kaufman, who's out in San Bernardino, who was actually an undergrad at USC when I still taught there, is doing some neat work on it. And I'm actually trying to get a questionnaire approved by my ethics board to just have people basically do a thing sort of like those New Yorker cartoons where they just write little captions to these pictures and then those get rated for creativity. And once I have that approved, I'll ask everybody on the stage to click on a link and jump right in on that. I think we'd get a real kick out of those data.
Yeah, that would be like a lot of fun to see. We'll be glad to participate in that. Dr. Erlewine, thanks for joining us again here on the Stash with more cannabis science.
Oh, thanks so much.